All right, we will start the net now. Good evening, everybody. This is Gordon, W2TTT. This is amateur radio station Kilo 2, Bravo, Alpha, Romeo, K2BAR, the station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, the host for this net. This net is conducted each Thursday night at 9 p.m. for the purpose of discussing virtually any topic related to amateur radio. We refer to it as the tech net, but amateur radio, being a technical hobby, allows us to touch a myriad of subjects or related to electronics or related to things we do with communications on any level and enjoy a stimulating conversation. So the process for this net is a little different than most others. You'll check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. This is, as I said, a wonderful hobby. We have a lot of God-given gifts in amateur radio, and so the subjects can be quite diverse. So please check in whether or not you have a question or a comment for the net, as we find that sometimes you can become a good resource. If you're a first-timer, please let us know. It's always good, although pretty much between Noel and myself, we pretty much know who's checked in most of the time. So to get things rolling, let's do that. I will ask for check-ins. Again, you'll check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment. We'll start with whiskey stations tonight. Stations beginning with W, please call K2BAR.
W2JEK, Don, no question.
Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey, Steve. No question.
Any other whiskey station? Okie doke. Well, that's fine. As a starting point, this is Don, W2JEK, hello to you. And WITW Steve, thank you very much. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. Stations beginning with November, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above.
K2BAR? This is Antonio with a question.
Good evening, Noel. Very good. We got your question. Noted. Any other stations with November, please call K2BAR. Okay. Our next person will be Alpha stations. Any Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. And last but not least, any Kilo stations, please call K2BAR with call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or not, leave them.
K2BAR. K2BAR, this is KC2PYB Richard. No questions or comments at this time.
Anything, Richard? Very good. Anybody else? Short list tonight. Is there a holiday that I'm missing?
EL, Mike. I have a comment and a question.
Sorry, Mike, we doubled. What is your call sign?
KA2FBL, Fox Bravo Lima. And comment and a question.
So noted. Alrighty. Anybody else?
Helmut. No question. Over.
Okay, there were at least two stations there. I got Helmut KA2BDU. Good evening to you, sir. And any other stations, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2SAV. No questions.
Okay, KC2SAV. Good evening, Al. Always good to hear you. Any other Kilo stations?
KC2SKL.
Hi, Kelly. KC2SKL, W2, probably K2BAR. Very good. Quick question, Kelly. Is this about the third time you've tried to get in?
Yes, oh, everyone's always stomping on me.
Okay, not a problem. Did you have a question or a comment?
No, sir, just listening.
Okay, not a problem. Thank you, Kelly. All right, any other stations, please call KTBAR. Any other stations? More than that, please call KTBAR. Okay, on that note, we're going to get rocking and rolling. N2OEL, your question, sir.
Okay, it had to do with putting up UHF and VHF antennas and a scanner disc cone antenna. Most of mine connect straight down, so you could hook a cable and let it hang straight down. However, you gave me a 2-meter antenna that has an SO239 that comes out at a right angle. And I was thinking, oh, okay, so I'm going to have to bend the cable way out and bring it around. And somebody said, no, use an angle right there, an angle connector, and that way the cable can come right down and hang naturally next to the mast. You can tape it. My problem is that most of my, I got 10 pieces of cable, 75-foot type N connectors. A couple of my antennas have SO239. Should I cut off the N connectors and crimp on SO239? Or should I simply take and use an adapter, N2OEL?
K2KTL repeater.
I would use an adapter in a heartbeat. I would not go butchering that cable because that cable is reasonably well set up. My guess is it's also maybe got a piece of heat shrink over the back end of the connector.
It's professionally made by AVENTA. It is phone people, which used to be called Lucent Technologies. I have 10 pieces of 75-foot and one piece of times microwave, 50-foot, and they all appear to be professionally put together.
Yes, we can talk about your surplus, too, by the way. That's fine. By the way, I have 50-foot pieces of LMR-400 that are brand new with SO239, or PL-259s, if you'd like, if you want to go that route, also professionally made. So, whichever. But, yeah, if you're going to use those with that particular antenna, have to use the adapter and also the angle. Just secure it properly.
Well, I bought the 50-foot. Unfortunately, it's not quite long enough, which is why I went for the 75. I was going to just put the 50 on eBay, and the extra ones are the 75.
Well, we can discuss that. If they have end connectors, we can discuss it. You don't have to put them on eBay.
They have end connectors, all of them.
Okay. Well, there's your answer to your question, and we can discuss the business part later.
No hurry. Talk to you later. And to OEL, I'll just listen out and make dinner for the XYL.
Excellent. Okay, Oak. Call me when you're ready, but do it tomorrow, not today. And not tomorrow night. Tomorrow night I'll be very busy. Let's say, let's go devil. All right. I need someone, if they're listening, to get Charlie and 3CRT on the repeater, because I have something I want to say, but I want to make sure he gets to hear it when I say it. All right. In the meantime, K2FBL. Mike, how are you? And I think it's been a long time, if ever. I think you have checked in, now think about it, before. What is your comment? What is your question?
K2FBL. Hi, Gordon. Hello, everybody. Actually, Gordon, I haven't checked in, but I met you a couple months ago at the Barra meeting. I work for Strauss Bergenfield, and we had a nice little conversation that night, and I didn't able to get my vanity back. I had lost my license due to illness, and yada, 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 I'm back, and I got original call funds back on. But my question is, I'm having a vertical right now for HF, and I'm really having a tough time. I'm kind of down in the pit. I'm thinking about getting the buddy pole, which is pretty much, it can go vertical, horizontal, whatever, and I'd be able to take it with me anywhere I want to go. And I was wondering if anyone out there has any experience with it.
Well, not specifically with a buddy pole, but I've done similar things. I've taken things like, like those hustler whips, those longer ones, and they make a special base so that it has one connector on it, but it's got two threaded screw things, and so you essentially can make a dipole from 220 or 40 or whatever meter hustler whips or equivalent hustler, type whips. You know, these hustlers that could be ham sticks or whatever. If you go down to, Advanced Specialties in Lodi, he sells that little gizmachi that clamps on a piece of metal that will allow you to make a dipole out of two ham sticks, which is essentially the same thing. I've made other things like what a buddy pole is. I mean, they work, but, they're reduced size antennas. I guess my question is, are you space limited? Is that the problem? Or are you not allowed to put up real antennas at home, or what's the deal?
Well, my problem is, we used to own, this is an apartment building we used to own, and we sold it, along getting a lease with it for a few years. My lease expires in the fall, and we're going to be moving. Wherever we move, we are going to move somewhere where I can hopefully put a tower up, if not a utilized roof of the house. I'm since I've been so sick of just rent a house, I sold to begin with because it was just too much work. But we have a porch now, and we're on the second floor of a three-and-a-half-story building, and I have two antennas on 15 feet of mast bolted to the metal railing that goes around. So to the east of me, I have the back, the front of the building, which really kind of blocks me quite well. I don't get out east very well at all, but, I do pretty good out to New Jersey and then farther. But on HF, I don't seem to be doing that great, and I'm not very happy with it. In fact, I buy all my equipment from John over in Lodi. Really nice guy. He treats me very, very well. And, in fact, I'm waiting for him to get something else that I had ordered, so I have to go out there in the next day or so. But I don't know. The antenna I'm using now is a Solarcom 99. It's basically a CB antenna that I can use from 20 meters up through 6 meters. So it's not exactly an ideal situation, but it seems to pick up a lot of white noise in the area, and doesn't seem to pick up what I want it to. I hear people, but I hear people not exactly the way I'd like to. Not as nearly as good as I would like to.
Is this Solarcom, as in Charlie Oscar Mike?
I believe it's, yes, it is. I have to think for a minute. A senior moment. I'm not that senior yet. But you're right. It is Solarcom like that, and it's an $899, an inexpensive antenna that I felt like just to get on, and now I'd like to really, basically, as I upgrade my license, my wife has been so kind as to buy me a new radio each time I upgrade. I technician's license, and she bought me a Yaesu 7800. I upgraded to my General last week, and she got me a VX6R. So now I'm working on the extra to get my 897D, but I'd like to have some kind of a comparable antenna that I get a nice radio. Right now I have a 757GX. I'd like to be able to talk. I mean, the antenna's more important than the radio, and I'm not very happy with what I've got.
Yeah. It's a Solarcom. They sell the Antron 99. Yeah, that's not going to be very effective. 10 through 17 meters, by the way, with a tuner. So, it, you know, you're really impaired. 18 to 29 is the optimal frequency range of this thing. I think the first thing you want to do is get yourself a dipole. Even if you have to get a... maybe you can get one of those push-up painter's poles, aluminum ones, with a little snap things, a little pin that pops out. I think if you build yourself a dipole on that, you can buy, you can build one of those and go up 30, 40 feet. Now, is there a problem with going up above your head, as it were?
Kind of, yes. KA2FBL. Since I don't own the building anymore, I don't want to, the front of it, I don't want to create too many problems for myself. Especially the fact that if I put something up, I would put something up. Right now it's on 15 feet of mast, and it is, about, you know, what, 18 feet tall. So I can go up that high and put something, but, you know, I have to be very careful, first of all, because of the fact that where I'm putting it, I can only guy three sides of it. I can't guy the fourth side, so I'm really, you know, very touchy about that. I'm not in an extremely high wind area, but being the fact that I'm close to the river, you know, I do get that whipping of the winds off the Palisades back this way.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. If you get one of those poles, they have 6-foot sections that overlap, so they get about 5.5 feet of overlap. Half a foot of overlap. You push it up when you need it, and you compress it down to 6 feet when you're 7-8 feet, maybe when you're done. And you basically push up on each section, telescoping it out, and then you collapse them down one by one from the sections above. I think that's kind of where I was going with that.
That is kind of the logic that I had with the buddy pole system, being that it was very lightweight and it has a telescopic collapsible mass. It's basically the same idea. But I do agree with you that I need something that I can get up high enough, first of all, right? Just, you know, when we're driving, we can see the antenna. The top whip part of it will just barely make it over, you know, maybe 3/4 of it will barely make it over the peak of the roof, which is not a situation to the east, and I'm sure it doesn't help me in going to the west.
Yeah, who is the other station?
This is Don, W2JEK. First with a quick comment. Right now the sunspot cycle is at the rock bottom. And there are a lot of weak signals out there, and your signals will also be weak. And with your present antenna, I was wondering what you're using for a ground on it. And also, seeing that you've got 15 feet and 18 feet, it would make 33 feet. That's like a quarter wave on 40 meters. If you had a quarter wave counterpoise strung away someplace, and you could load that whole mess up as a quarter wave vertical on 40 meters, it might do better on that band because the sunspot cycle doesn't affect it as much. With that, back to that, W2JEK.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going, Don. I was figuring he could make a dipole for 20, he can make a vertical for 40, a fiberglass pole, and as you say, put a counterpoise on it. There is no counterpoise on the antenna in question, so unless you have a long mast that's at least 11 feet and change long, it has no, if you will, counterpoise. So I was looking at that, the Silicon A99. You can look it up. It's got several reviews and fact sheets and things like that are out there. So I think that's, something to think about. I'm just looking at, you know, a couple of things, including telescopic mass, but now that's not what I want. I've seen them in the stores. They're aluminum. Sorry, they're not aluminum. They're made of a fiberglass, and they have like a little pin, a spring-loaded pin that pushes through a hole in the section below it that locks it into place. So when you want to collapse it, you push in on the pin and just pull down on the section of pole, and they collapse one section at a time. Fiberglass push-up pole, an AMSAT thing. Here we go. I'll find it. There's a German push-up pole of some sort. I don't know what it is or how, but anyway. There's a couple others. I'm scanning for this thing. Push-up mass product. Max gain. There we go. The MK6. Let's look at that. That might be something worthwhile. That mass might be a good idea. We'll see. But that's kind of where I was going. Pretty much the same thing that you're thinking of. Let's see. Max Gain Systems Fiberglass Push-Up Mass Product Reviews. There's your boy. Okay, you ready to copy a website?
What you're basically saying is my best bet would be if I installed one of those push-up poles, which I think would be a very good idea, and I put one of those brackets on it that I can make into a horizontal dipole and push it up high enough, I should be able to technically get out better, much better than what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm seeing here. They have a couple. I would look at that, and you know what I would do actually is consider buying a longer mast than I would actually use, and then only use the stouter parts of it. In other words, I wouldn't use the. I mean, this thing goes down to 3/4 of an inch OD from 2 inches. I think I would, you know, buy the 43-foot version and only push it up 26 feet or something. Worst case, if you take it to the park or something, you'd have a 40-foot mast to use to hold up a dipole. That's pretty cool. it breaks down to 6 or 8 foot lengths. It's really straightforward. But if you look at Max Gain Systems, it's www. Mike Golf Sierra number 4 uniform.com, and let's see what happens when I go from that site. See if that's sufficient. Hold on. Yeah, that'd be fine. You'll find all sorts of things in there. You'll see fiber. If you just go to that mgs4u.com, right there on the top, you'll see one of the options is fiberglass push-up mat. I think that's the kind of thing you're looking for. It'll be great.
Great, thank you very much. And as far as a dipole goes, if I might even be going out to Lodi tomorrow. If I get that bracket, and what would you suggest as far as the whips go? Lengthwise, in order to be able to, let's say, do 20 or 40 meters.
If you're going to get the thing that I was talking about before, it looks like kind of like a trucker mount, except it'll accept two. It's got two threaded ends, one going left, one going right, or one going up and one going down, and a bracket to clamp onto a mast. You have that. So tell them you want to make a dipole on a two ham sticks. And then what I would do, I would get 2 40-meter ham sticks, get the long ones, don't get the shortened ones, and on your 8-foot mast, just clamp it to that and just adjust for SWR and away you go. I think that's, you know, 40 meters, even if the band is horrible, you're going to hear at least the international broadcasters, and you'll get a sense for what's going on.
Information. Thank you. hopefully, I ordered a tri-band mobile antenna that he was out of, and supposed to get it in this week in order for me to be able to use the VX6 in the car too, which hopefully he'll have in tomorrow and give me a reason to go out there, and I'll pick all this up at the same time. And I have to be very lucky. I have a son who loves to help me by putting up antennas for me. And the slightest little thing that I need comes out of his room and runs onto the porch and rips everything down and throws up a new one to me. He's done it 2-3 times already, so I've been very lucky with that. KA2FBO.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, Mike, you'll also be able to get the antenna above the building without too much trouble. They're 43-foot mast, 6 pieces of fiberglass, pardon me, starting with 2 inches going down to 3/4. That may be a little light, but that's all right. And 5 quick clamps. And I think that quick clamp thing is meant so that you can use any one of those things as an anchor point and still pass the wire above. I think that, or an antenna above, so you can have antennas at different heights, you know, maybe 6 or 7 feet apart, or 8 feet apart, actually. So that's pretty cool. They're $140 for this model MK8. It looks like the right, pretty well. The bad news is because it's a little long, it ships a little expensively, but no big deal. They also will sell you 8-foot pieces of fiberglass length of the diameter of your choice if you need to do that. But that's pretty good. I just wanted to make 2 comments about something else you had mentioned. You mentioned 897. Hold on, let me just drop it.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, I had an 897, and I did like the radio. A couple of words to the wise about the 897. Number one, do not, emphasis, do not buy the Yaesu tuner. Do not buy their batteries. Do buy the W4RT batteries and any other accessories that strike your fancy and your budget from W4RT. And definitely get the AT897 from LDG. Good tuner. Clamps on the side, looks like the factory one except better, and it works much better. Those are my words to the wise about the 897. Having said that, if I had the money floating around for an 897, I think I would just go out and buy another 746 Pro and enjoy the more comfortable user or rig interface and just, you know, lug a second battery and be done with it. You know, lug a bigger battery and be done with it. Save money that way. But you can buy a 746 Pro used for $1,000. Anytime it's more than $1,000 at this point, it's because there's something really unique about it. There's not a whole lot unique about most 746 Pros. So that's just my own opinion. I like the 897. I just think the 746 Pro works better. If you don't mind the bigger size and carrying a separate battery of more substance, I think you'll be a happier puppy.
Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't really getting it for the battery option. I wasn't looking necessarily for that. I don't like the idea of really weighing it down. I could just go for the smaller version, 57, but I like the idea that if in the future I felt the need, not really an outdoors person, but we were thinking about going places, hooking up the radio with a little bit, something else. We're not really sure 100% yet, but some other way of running it other than the internal battery. I just wasn't really sure. It was either an 897 or an 857. One or the other. It's just, I kind of like, you know what it is? I've always had Yaesus, and I'm getting used to the format of the new one, and I figured maybe I'd go for that. But I got a feeling that those batteries would really not get used very much. I'd copy flight.
Probably K2BAR. All right. Now we're going to get into, I'm going to introduce a concept which borders on religion and in the spirit of the post-visit. I'll try not to offend anybody. But the receiver on the 746 Pro, for the amount of money you're going to ultimately spend, is hands down vastly better. The rig is only slightly larger, maybe only 20-30%, probably 30% heavier. And, oh, by the way, there's a handle on the side of it. You'll have a real radio. And if you want to power it from something that is infinitely luggable, I would have talked about this tonight. Anyway, I bought the MFJ4125P. It's their Mighty Light switching power supply. It's much quieter than the MFJ power supply. Or, I mean, not the MFJ, the Olinco power supply, which I thought was pretty good, actually. But the version of the Mighty Light that I got has not only the binding posts on the front and the little clamps on the back, there are some accessories, but, you know, two pair of Anderson power poles as a front panel socket. So I just love that, and I brought it home tonight. It really works great. It's a tiny, lightweight switching supply that really is quite effective. And I was able to notice that there was a slight amount of increase in noise on the one power supply, the Olenco, but the MFJ, I could not hear any noise. So I have learned something today. It's something to consider. And, oh, by the way, it's a little cheaper, too, by the way, by about $20. So that's something else to think about. But when something's lighter, cheaper, performs better, has better interfacing functionality, and as I said, cheaper, that's pretty cool. So you could buy one of these little 25 amp switchers and a 746 Pro for about $1,000, used, and you will be very, very happy, and you'll have the on-the-go station you need.
Well, I thank you for the advice. Going to look into that. One of the things I was looking for, actually, I was thinking about a small power supply. Funny you should mention that, because I was thinking about it. I have a Astron 50 amp, must be 25 years old, sitting here, that I power everything with that. So that's not going anywhere. That thing weighs a ton. Thinking of getting a small power supply to be able to hook up to an inverter. A 1,000-watt inverter. I didn't know if it would put out enough amps for an inverter to be able to run a radio. If I had a small radio with a small power supply, and I hooked up the inverter, and I could do something like that, an on-the-fly thing with a nice battery, and that would be a nice affordable type of setup. So all you got to hook up two battery terminals, two battery clamps. Any battery anywhere, and I pretty much have myself a regulated power supply, and radio will put out as much as I want it to, rather than just limiting it to the 20 watts like 7 does when you have the batteries installed. K2SBL.
Boost regulator.
I was going there. Hey, Charlie, don't go far, because I have something I want to announce while you're listening. Yeah, the November 8 XJK boost regulator, they make a 100-watt and a 200-watt version, and there's your answer for driving off a battery. I have one, and they work great. I think, Charlie, you now have one. And this little MFJ power supply works great. And if you really want to do it upright, you get a power gate, a West Mountain Radio power gate, to regulate the flow from the power supply into the battery, and also to provide automatic switching between the two should the power supply lose AC power. So I think that's the way to go. You don't want to use a general purpose inverter with these radios, because they generate a lot of hash in the receiver. They're pretty ugly. So anyway, what I was trying to point out regarding the ICOM, and I realize you have developed an affinity for the ASU. I had the 857, I had the 897. I bought them on the strength of the fact that I had had an FT-100, which I really thought was better. In fact, I know it's better. They didn't measure up, and the human factors were just terrible in comparison. The 897 is a bit better than the 857 for that, but still, it's still a little compact and too many menus and too much varied stuff. You will be a lot happier with the ICOM. I got rid of all my ASU stuff and started keeping all my camera stuff because I had 3 ASU HF rigs and 3 ICOM HF rigs. And I got rid of the second 746 Pro, bought myself a 7000, got rid of the 897, got rid of the 857, got rid of the 100. I also got rid of a Kenwood FT1, a TS-140. So anyway, it's all about the receiver and the human factors. K2FAZ got this lecture from me on the strength of it. He bought a 7000 because that's what he wanted, but he's going to be just he's like what a 46 Pro. But for the money, I would consider 746 Pro used probably the best buy on the market today for performance radio. That's real that you can lug with you someplace. W2TTT. Good, Mike.
To FBL. Thank you for the advice. I'm actually going to look up and see what I can do. I'm not in a rush because I don't get it until I pass my extra, which I'm hoping to take it May 4th, but I'm also at the same time looking to have my wife take her technician, and I would rather her take the technician than me get the extra at that time, so I might wait one more session on a week or two for that, but I'm going to look into it. That's my carrot in front of the horse to get another radio, but unfortunately, you know, I'm not too thrilled with the receive. You know what it is? I used to, when I had the 757 in the past, I've had four element beams, and it was really a fantastic location, and I had no problems at all. Now, you know, the antenna that I have here now just provides my needs, and I'm hoping to, or I really decide on the radio, I gotta have it. At least I know that I'm able to talk. I mean, when you have the net out there on 10 meters, I can't hear hardly anybody. And it's a shame because you guys aren't that far from me. I'm only in Yonkers. Go ahead.
K2TCL repeater.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I think as Don pointed out, that there's an issue with propagation these days. And 10 meters is not exactly wonderful for that range unless you have a decent antenna. And some view, if you will. Some of the guys in the net here have very unimpressive signal, present company included, with this station. So anyway, anybody else want to say anything to Mike about receivers, transmitters, portable power, rig choices, antennas, whatever his HF desires might be, please call K2BAR.
Yes, W2JEK, do I have it?
You do, John. Don, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, for portable operation, I mean, you could rig up an inverted V for 20 meters or 40 meters and just take your telescoping pole and get the thing up to 30 feet or so in the middle. Use the two ends of the antenna as guy wires, and you have a third guy wire. You just need three guy wires. Have like an inverted V, say for 20 meters or 40 meters if you're doing portable work. And don't know just what your situation is at home as far as a dipole goes. That would be a lot better than a vertical with an inefficient ground system. Again, as Gordon mentioned, the sunspots are bad too, in that the 10 and 15 meters and the 12 meter band in between is just the zilch for right now. Once in a blue moon, you get through some note 15. I got stationed on 15 meters the other day, TO5RZ, who was down in St. Bart's in the Caribbean, but it's not the worldwide type of propagation that we've known at the peak of the sunset cloud cycle. So you'll find most of your operation will be more like on 20 meters. 17 meters is a good one too sometimes during the peak times of the day. I mean, these are daytime bands more or less now. 20 meters closes up at night. And only 40 and 30 and 80 meters stay open at night. So that's part of what you're going to have to deal with. Hopefully you can figure out some kind of antenna that'll get you up on those bands. 40, I guess, would be the good one to shoot for. It's a good nighttime, all-the-time band. The overall length of the 40-foot dipole is about 66 feet, so if you had to get up something on that mast in your house, 33 feet one way, 33 feet the other way, it would work. Also, a 40-meter dipole sometimes works on its third harmonic, which is 15 meters. So that's what I use here. So back to NAT W2JK.
Yep. Alrighty. Very good. I think that's helpful. Anybody else with comments, please call K2BAR. Okay. Very good. All right, Mike, anything to close out? Then I want to make sure I address something while I know Charlie's here.
Well, I'd just like to thank you all for the invite. I'm going to see what I can go over here. I also just wanted to comment that on the weekend of the 20th and 27th, besides amateur radio, my wife and I are operators and collectors of toy trains. And our club that we belong to in Yonkers here is the Westchester Model Railroad Club, and there's also a Yonkers Model Railroad Club, which is HO scale. We're having an open house that weekend, and if you have children, and show them another fantastic hobby, which, you know, it's really along the same lines, kind of, but it's a great hobby, and we're having an open house, and everybody is invited. We are in Yonkers at the Tibbetts Brook Park, and in the pool building we have two layouts. And anybody who likes to get in touch with me, I'd be more than happy to give you directions and have a good time. You're all invited. Thank you.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. Keep that in mind. Just out of curiosity, how old's your son?
I have a 24-year-old and a 19-year-old. I and myself that are into trains.
And your older sons, you know, partake of this train business?
No. We have a layout in our living room, actually. It's my wife's. I took down mine because I was at the HO, and I built her a Lionel layout, which is about 14 feet long by in an L shape by about 8 or 9 feet, three main lines on it, and nice little layout. I have lots of videos on my website. If anyone wants to go on to skyandtrains.com, SKYANDTRAINS. .com. I have about 10,000 photos on there, and a lot of trains. You can see the layout from the club on there, and besides the one that we have at home, and I think you all get a good kick out of it. Even if you can't make it to the open house, look what I've got there, and it's a beautiful layout. Back to you.
Okay, very good. That sounds like fun. I've got a slight change of subject, but I'll take check-ins before I go forward. This is K2BAR. Any other stations wishing to check in, please call K2BAR. Okay. N3CRT, are you on frequency, K2BAR?
Yep.
Okay. it was brought to my attention today that in those wonderfully crowded roads leading out of the city of Rome, that Pope Benedict has a better way to get away to Castel Gandolfo than most. In fact, apparently, in his his predecessors went to Castel Gandolfo, for the summer, August, September, October, and then they come back after a season away. Well, because it's only about 15 minutes by air from Vatican City, it seems that Pope Benedict, who apparently is a pilot, managed to get a helicopter rating for the papal helicopter and flies to Castel Gandolfo on weekends. The key element to this is not that he just flies a helicopter and has a pilot's license, but he doesn't have a driver's license. I thought you'd find that amusing, Charlie.
But I thought he had a Volkswagen Rabbit that they sold on eBay.
Yes, but he's never had a driver's license.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I want to know what the papal helicopter is. Apparently there is one. I know the jet he came here in the States with is chartered. He doesn't normally have a jet at his disposal. The Vatican doesn't have that kind of money to have an aircraft at his disposal all the time. Pardon me. But needless to say, we do need to find that out. That might be something to look at. Anyway, I got a kick out of that. My mother told me that this morning, and I went up and on the internet, and sure enough, found something on PopeVisit2008.com. Fun facts, and this is one of them. Anyway, I thought everybody'd get a kick out of that. Alrighty, now we can only get a bank at a Hamlet. Anyway. Anybody else have any check-ins or comments or questions for the net, please call KTBAR.
K2KCL, repeater.
This is W2JK with a comment. A statement.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, first of all, I would like to announce that we are at Barra is running a test session tomorrow night at the high school at 7 o'clock. We have four applicants that I know of already. Probably have more later. And just on the website of the American QRP Club, that's amqrp.org, I believe. And they, with their project section, they have a guy wrote a thing called a crappy, C-A-R-P-P-I-E, portable antenna using a fishing pole, which crappy is a kind of fishing fish, I think. And he describes how he uses a portable makes an inverted V and feeds it with a twin lead and a tuner and a small balanced line tuner. Of course, this is for 2.5 watt QRP rig, but the same idea that you can set up a decent antenna at, in a portable fashion as an inverted V. Not an expensive thing. I hear people buying buddy poles and ham sticks and all this kind of stuff and spend a lot of money on an antenna that I don't think is going to be very efficient. I hate to see that happen. So that's back to that. W2JK.
Okay, very good, Don. Thank you for that. So tomorrow night at the Westwood High School, Washington Township. The time again, Don?
All right, it'll be at 7 p.m.
Okay, very fine. Very fine, that's great. All right. I have an announcement, and that is that the ARIESnet that goes on the second Monday of the month, which in this case it was last Monday, was very successful. I got a lot of good comments on it. The next net, rain or shine, will be on the 12th of May, the second Monday in May, May 12th, and you will need to be in your car going to a place, dressed for the weather. You won't be walking very far away from your car, but we will have a meet and greet to a place useful for every radio amateur to know about in the county. I don't want to say where it is, but we will give you directions to there on the radio. We will be, essentially, that will be a talk-in exercise. Then there will be a short tour, maybe all of 10 minutes, maybe 15 if we get really strung out. And then we're going to retire to a local burger eatery.
Pardon me.
So bring your appetites. Again, the next session will start at 7:30, and we hope you can join us on the 12th of May. Additionally, one of the things that we're going to have some show and tell type stuff at that gathering as well. During the next session, actually, or during probably the burger part of it. If you're a vegetarian, never fear, there'll be other things for you as well. In any case, tentatively on June 9th, which is the June event, the June Net, we will be looking to get ID cards. We're going to have, if it all works well, the ID cards will be cut that night. We'll be able to take your picture at the location to be determined, by the way. Again, it'll be a talk-in kind of thing. You'll have to get up and go to that net. In order to get your ID, you need a driver's license or some other proof of who you are, nothing major. Your amateur radio license will probably be sufficient as well. And then I believe it's going to cost you $6 because of the materials. We have to cover the cost of the materials. But these are cards that will also have it coded in your medical information. So God forbid you drop, someone can scan the card, know your blood type and stuff like that. It'll have your name on it. And I think coded in there is also your address.
Repeater, sign out. Repeater, reset. No Alpha Hotel, please.
How long did I go?
K2BAR, this is KC2PYV.
Yeah, how long did I go?
You were talking about the barcode. The barcode holds the individual's name and emergency contact information and medical information. But we're not taking medical information, so we'll just have our name and emergency contact information down there.
Okay, you don't want to code in the blood type?
We can write it on the card, but that's, like I said, that was primarily for first responders who may get hurt, like firefighters, police officers, EMS people who may get hurt as they arrive into the situation before it tries to stabilize. We're kind of brought in afterwards, and we had other things that we wanted to put in a database. And like I said, we really don't fit into their database in that respect, as far as that goes.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that later. No big deal. If we're able to, it might be useful to have that. Only because you never know. If someone's in your midst and they got something going on medically and they're not prepared for it, it might be good to know that stuff. Not that they'd be injured, but maybe they have some other thing that goes on they need to know. But anyway, again, no one will know except for if they scan the card that they carry. So I'm not terribly worried about it. But if there's a logistical problem with doing that, then don't worry about it. We'll do without. No big deal. In any case, we'll also have an extended form of the FSD 98, which many of you have filled out, which is going to also address what your in a more comprehensive way your deployment status and things like that. I'll circulate drafts of that at our next gathering, and you can either submit them at the one following or leave them at the next gathering. But some of these face-to-faces are going to be helpful because we'll all get to know each other better. And it will be fun. What a concept. Feel free to invite another radio amateur to it. And I apologize for timing out the repeater before. Richard, do you want to add anything else? K2BAR.
No, just that we're all set for June. They're ready to open, you know, the location. We will have the radio set up there so we can talk in as soon as we switch over to, you know, a mobile operation trying to get people in. And like I said, we're all ready to rock and roll. They're ready to make the cards. I'm going to see if I can get one card made mine so we can have it at the next Barra meeting. I know a lot of us are members of Barra as well, so you can see what the card physically looks like as far as that goes. This is KC2PYV.
Richard, that would be most excellent. Okay. Very good. Very good. You know, I'll talk about that. That's splendid. But we've had trouble with ID cards in past, and ones that, shall we say, are not necessarily sanctioned by civil government, but ones that are inherently readable by civil government. And that kind of levels the playing field a little bit and makes their comfort zone, you know, more, it makes us more attractive to them, because then they can track us using their tracking systems, et cetera, on a site, which I think is also a good idea, too. I know they're away from doing that. I can't wait to the day when you enter an area, you swipe your card for accountability. I like that idea big time. That's all another matter. Alrighty, anybody else with questions, comments, confusions, please call K2BAR.
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, this is in the subnet tech, but it's areas related. Are you going to send out a list of repeaters and simplex frequencies that we should program into our radios? As I know, we were into that bit, and I think we were going to try and avoid everybody scrambling around with the 40-ton book or 2-ounce radio kind of a deal, trying to scramble around with resetting the frequencies and the PL tones while you're driving down around 17 or something like that. Avoid that. Have it all reprogrammed as much as possible into the radio. Back to you.
K2GCL repeater.
You know what I'll do? I do have to make one phone call because the email did not follow up. I had asked one club through their listed officers to consider letting us use the repeater for one part of the county, and I have not received a response at all, and I'm just wondering if maybe I just communicated with the people who are listed and they're not really the people who ran the show. The mail did not reject, it just kind of went to a black hole. But I do have the list. If you shoot me an email, I will send it to you. The other thing I need to emphasize regarding Aries is that if you want to be on the in Aries, or even interested in possibly being interested in Aries, you need to go to I'm brain dead, I can't remember the name of the site. That's good.
Yeah,
thank you. Yahoo Groups, thank you. Go to Yahoo Groups and look for Bergen-Ares. That's the group name, and then request to join it, and I'll, or whoever will accept you, no problem. So, anyway, Bergen-Ares, A-R-E-S, and on the Yahoo Groups website, do a search on the group, and you'll find it. You'll make a request to join, and you'll be fine. So I'm thinking about posting it there, win, lose, or draw. But if you shoot me an email at whiskey2tango@att.net, I will also shoot you a copy of that file. It does exist on. It's been pretty well vetted. It's got repeaters and purposes in Bergen. It's got some of the cross-county stuff, between, especially Bear Bergen and Passaic. It's got the Skywarn stuff squared away. It's got the Racy stuff squared away. It's got simplex channels that we're going to use. And it also has some 220 and 440 stuff as well. So, you know, all in all, it's pretty straightforward stuff. You'll do fine with that. I've got to make one or two, as I say, phone calls about one repeater in particular. But all the rest, we're good to go. And we're actually looking to improve the quality of repeaters. I've received a generous offer of a battery backup system for repeaters that might need it. I guess they're 1,200 ampere hours increments, but I can get them for any club who wants them at free of charge, as long as you have the place to deploy them correctly. Any other questions or comments, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2FAZ, checking in late.
Johnny, good evening to you. K2FAZ. K2BAR, I'm really tired. Just kind of pooped. I've been up since 6, and it's one of these weeks where I've been working like a dog for about a week and a half, and I'm kind of pooped. I ain't going to rest tomorrow. I'm going to go scream my brains out at going, let's go Devils, anyway. Welcome. Do you have any questions, comments, or confusions for that? Tony, K2FAZ, K2BAR.
No, not at this time. I was late coming in, so I don't have anything for tonight.
Not a problem. Just out of curiosity, did you get your rig yet?
Tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay. Well, good luck with the 7,000. That's pretty cool. I went over to KJI's today and picked up a Mighty Light switching power supply. I got the one with the Anderson power poles as well as the binding posts front and back. So it seems to be quieter than the Alinco, which I was a little surprised about. But anyway, I don't have as much trouble with the Alinco as I would have thought. But this is pretty nice. Anyway, any other questions, comments, confusions for that? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, WP3SN.
Hey, Jose, WP3SN, K2BAR, go ahead.
Can I, Gordon, W2TDT and the group, this is WP3SN. No comments, just sunny light today. I'll just stay in the background listening.
Okay, very good. Very good. You and I have to get talking about field day. We're going to have all sorts of things to do about field day. I got to square up one question about the location. I think we found a location for field day. It's going to be pretty awesome. And I just got to square it away. So, very good. Just for everybody's reference, Jose is a dad in our Boy Scout troop. So, we are back to 5 adults with ham licenses and 4 or 5 boys. It's kind of cool. Alrighty. Anybody else? K2BAR. Okay, very good. I have one last announcement just for everybody. For those of you who have 446 FM or single sideband CW capabilities for 432, next Wednesday, it's all you satellite guys should be cranking your antennas horizontal or vertical depending on what you're doing. And make some contacts between 7 and 11 p.m. on Wednesday night for the 432 sprint. The 432 sprint is pretty cool stuff. If you just Google 2008 432 megahertz sprint, you'll find several, you know, places about it. So 2008 432 megahertz sprint. Sprints are a lot of fun. They're like little mini contests. They're very fun. They're a lot of, you get to work some stuff out. I'm going to be testing out two things, if everything works right. One is the 432 side of my 7000, and the other is my transverter attached to my 746 Pro. So I'll have two receivers and maybe two transmitter capabilities, we'll say. If Saturday's as good as I hope it's going to be, I should get a second 432 antenna up. I don't want to use the one on the far tower. I want to use the one right on the house here with a short coax. So it should be fun. On that note, any other questions, comments, or confusions, this is K2BAR. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking in. Look forward to seeing you at the Barra meeting, which will be the first Sunday in May. The first Sunday in May, which I believe is May 4th, if I recall correctly. And the way you remember the next ARIESnet date is very simple. It's Cinco de Mayo plus a week. So if you got that party-hardy attitude a week later and you're just a little slow on the uptake on the, or just a glutton for more party for the Cinco de Mayo, you come back a week later, do it again, do it with the ARIES group. We'd love to have you. And just a reminder that this repeater is brought to you by the Burton County FM Association, our brother/sister club, and they are generous and let us use the repeater here, and also their 443 or 441 or 444.1 repeater. Barra has nets four nights a week. On Monday, it's the 10-meter net, 28350 at 9 o'clock. On Tuesday, it's 444, 443, I think it's 444, 100, also at 9 o'clock. Wednesday is the chat net on 2 meters on 146.79, again at 9 o'clock. And last but not least, the tech net on Thursdays, again at 9 o'clock on 146.79. There's also, in addition to the monthly meeting, there's a weekly, kit night, as they call it, which is a general face-to-face and technical gathering on Tuesday nights in Washington Township on the, kit nights are Tuesday nights during the school year at Westwood High School in Washington Township. And of course, there's a test session also in that same high school, usually once a month, plus or minus summer months, months where we have a ham fest, where it's coincident with the ham fest. By the way, May we'll have a ham fest, so that's pretty cool as well. So keep all those wonderful things in mind. We look forward to seeing you there. At this time, the station would like to recognize or thank W2JEK, WITW, N2OEL, KC2PYB, KA2FBL, welcome back, K2BDU, KC2SAV, KC2SKL, N3CRT, our resident aviator, K2FAZ, and WP3SN. Thank you for your time and attention, lady and gentlemen, and we look forward to working you again. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, Gordon, signing clear and saying thank you and have a good night.